you ever want to get excited about anything, just think about the things of God. Amen? Take your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 5. I believe today's the 5th. Is that correct? Amen. Well, as I was reading it this morning, I just see things that just jump out at me. I've talked about this before, but this is in a little way, and maybe some of you haven't heard it, but I want every one of you to read your Bible every day. Amen? I want you to take the Proverbs and read it every day. Whatever the date is, that's your Bible reading plan. So every one of you should have, you don't feel guilty because you still have, the day's not over, read Proverbs chapter 5. So let's get into it real quickly, and I'll try to go as fast as I can to get you home as soon as I can. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou cannot know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou," look what he's saying, "and you mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." Do you see the explanation points there? This is serious. He says, "I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." I'm stopping right there. We have a lot to talk about here, but I want you to see that God is speaking to you tonight, today, and tomorrow and forever. You are His children. And He says, pay attention to my wisdom. Bow your ear to my understanding. Know my knowledge. That it says, because, and He's telling you why, the lips of a strange woman, they drop as a honeycomb. Honeycombs were up in trees. That people would be walking by and big hunks of honeycomb would fall down. They'd find it on the path. They pick up the honeycomb. They go, oh, this is great. Like it came from heaven. And honey in the Bible represents the word, the sweet things of the Word of God. It represents edifying. John the Baptist, we know that his diet, God gave us His Word, his diet was honey, wild honey, and locusts. What that means is, as the preacher of a New Testament preacher that he was an example of, you're supposed to preach 50% edifying, 50% judgment. Locusts mean judgment, honey means edifying. You can't just have honey all the time. It even says in Proverbs 25, it says, if you found honey, eat as much as you want, but don't eat too much because you're going to get sick. It's going to throw you up. You're going to lose the good things you have. So I want you to think about this strange woman. What she does is her lips drop like honey, and she's smooth, and smoother than oil, Bob. And oil in the Bible represents the Holy Ghost. She's smoother than the Word of God. She wants to tell you everything that's good. She wants to feed you with all edifying you, building you up, making you feel good about yourself. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? God says, no, you don't understand. It's bad. The human heart, the human mind, the human spirit wants to be built up and told how great we are. We want to be told that we're wonderful, you're good looking, you're smart, you're funny, you're everything, everybody loves you. And that's not the truth. God deals in pure truth. God wants you to realize that you're no good at all. They came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do? He said, why do you call me good? There's none good, boy. There's only one that's good. He's God. And then we say, oh, I'm a good person. I'm a good. And what this strange woman is a religion. It is teachers of a religion that want to tell you everything you want to hear. I have much to say, but I want to look at one verse with me. Verse 8, it says, remove thy way far from her. Is that a request or a command? It's a command of God. Remove your way, boy. Sons and daughters, get far from her. He says, and come not near the door of her house. I'm here to tell you right now, there's no way that you can do that until you do these things. One of five, you must identify. I'm going to give you some words. I just want you to write them down, jot them in your memory, whatever you can. Identify. Then you have to magnify. Then you have to clarify, and you have to testify, and then you're going to have to certify for you to be able to do this. I'm going quick, but I just want you to realize, first, we must identify the strange woman. Because people don't know who it is, what it is. So how can you remove yourself far from it if you don't identify what it is? Can I get a witness? You have to identify what it is. And then once you identify what it is, then you have to magnify it. Magnify. You know what that means? A lot of people know certain religions are wrong. A lot of people know, oh, because someone told you they were wrong, but you've never magnified them and inspected them and see what it is they're exactly selling. See what kind of snake oil they're actually selling. See why what they're saying is wrong. Because many people hear it, but they don't magnify it to find out for themselves what's really wrong with it. What's so wrong with someone telling you how good you are and how great you are and you can do everything and you can walk on water and you can raise the dead and you'll never be sick? That sounds great to me. But that's not truth. It's partial truth. And that's what she does. The strange woman is a religion that speaks half-truths. You know what half-truths is? It's a forked tongue. You speak them with forked tongue. You know what that means? You only speak half-truth. Because just like the snake, the viper, the serpent has a forked tongue. That's why Jesus even said in Matthew 3, verse 5, Matthew 12, 34, Matthew 23, 33, he said, oh, you vipers, you snakes, you serpents. You know what he said? Oh, generation of vipers, serpents, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He goes on to say that her feet take hold on hell, her steps go down to death, to hell. So who is it? You must identify what it is. You must magnify it and clarify it so you makes it clear to you. And then you must testify. That's wrong. That isn't true. That isn't right. That isn't good. That's why it's a study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because the snake oil doesn't divide the word of truth. The snake oil will tell you you're an apostle. You can do the same things apostles can do. That's a lie. God gave them those gifts. You're not an apostle. You're not 12 apostles. Book of Revelation tells us, says about the one church in Ephesus, says, I know your works and your patience, how you can't stand them that say they're apostles and are not, and you tried them and found them liars. So if you're an apostle, you could drink poison, wouldn't die. You get bit by snakes. That's why you got crazy people handling snakes, because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Make sense, anyone? You getting it? I'm going to hurry up. But you have to clarify, make it clear. Then after you find out what it is that they're teaching that isn't right, then you must testify. You must speak out and warn others of the trap, of the snare, of the dangers of this, of her teaching. So one, identify. Two, magnify. Three, clarify. I'm sorry. Magnify is to clarify. Three, testify. And then you must certify yourself. You must apply it into action. You see, what happens is there's snake oil salesmen out there. The strange woman and her words are smooth, smoother than oil, smoother than the Holy Spirit. Who knows in this class tonight, who knows what the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit comes? The Holy Spirit only comes to what? Convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's what the Holy Ghost does. There's not much time you're going to be tickled by the Holy Ghost. There's no holy laughter and holy electric and holy languages, stuff like that. You show me that in the Bible. So you've got to rightly divide it. What the Holy Ghost does is wants you to be holy. That's what God's whole job is to make you holy. Because you know what happens when you start to listen to these snake oil? It ruins your life. Because you have no rewards, you have nothing built up, because you've been set a lie. And your whole life, you're in church, you're doing all the right things, and then when you get to the judgment seat, everything gets burned up. Because everything you were doing was for you. But you were sold a bill of goods, and this is happening all over the world. And I'm here to tell you right now, it's very, very serious. And you think about what churches or what religions are out here today. Today, I'm talking in right now, not in the past or the future. What are they? They're out there. That's all you hear is good. That's all you get is candy. That's all you get is honey. That's all you get. It's all about you. It's all about you, how great you are, how much God loves you. He'll accept you just the way you are. You don't have to change. Where can you put it in your minds right now? Churches, people on TV, everywhere. That's all I see. That's all I see. You don't hear hard preaching about your sin. You tell someone, I'm a sinner. No, you're not. You're a saint. The Bible says you got to rightly divide. I'm a sinner saved by grace, which makes me a saint in God's eyes. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. You can't give half truths. And it's very serious. Turn with me if you would, please, because this is what he says. Look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at a few verses and I'll try to get you out of here. I've seen it. I have identified it. I have magnified it. And it's very clear to me. I've clarified it. And because I know it, I have to testify of what it is. Because I've seen the damage that it has done all over the world. You have thousands of saved, born again children in these churches. And God told us, he said, at the last you're going to mourn when your body and flesh are consumed and everything you have is burned up. And you're going to say, I was almost in all evil in the middle of the congregation. These are saved people that have been led astray to believe a half-truth, to believe a lie. And they give their money and their tithes. Do you know how many people there are that are in churches today more religious than you? Going to church more than you, giving more money than you, doing things more than you. And they're going to get there and Jesus is going to say, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Lord, haven't we cast out devils and raised the dead? Didn't we talk in different languages and do all these phony baloney things? Wasn't I slain in the spirit? And he's going to say, I never knew you. That's scripture. I'm here to tell you this is serious, serious stuff. Because what's going to happen is you can spend your whole life and your whole time and all your money and all your effort and everything and get it there and everything be for naught. Because everything you did, because of the twisted serpent's tongue, you were doing it for you. Oh, God will give it to you too, but you'll waste it. You'll waste it. That's why it says, others will be filled with your labors. Others will be filled with your wealth. Because there's millions of saved, born again children of God that have been deceived and they drank the snake oil and they think everything about life is all about you. What I can get, what I can do, who I am. That's so dangerous. It's the opposite of Christianity. It's the opposite of Jesus Christ, who is a servant to all. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, are you there? Sorry. I'll tell you why. Because I don't have much time, but I'm really passionate about this because God is passionate about it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, and that's what he's talking about in Proverbs 5, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In another place, it says whether it be good or bad. Every single thing that you do, if you've done it for the wrong intentions, it's going to get burned up. I don't care how good it was. I don't care how many old ladies you helped. I don't care how many people you fed. I don't care how many devils you kicked out. If you did it, and God knows the intents of your heart, if you did it for you, you get nothing. And how's that happen to someone? By the strange woman, the strange teacher that is a snake oil salesman that speaks with forked tongue. Look what it says. It says, she'll try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 4, and 14. And if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall what? Say it, church. Suffer loss. Say it again. Suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, because the Holy Ghost has your soul, amen? And he's pure gold, and that can never be burned up, never. So I don't care what you take with you into heaven when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single thing that you did for the real reasons will be burned up, because God doesn't play games. God has told us everything we need to know in this book. And you can pretend, you can play games, you can say, hallelujah, I am this, I am that, I am this. I know what I am. I'm same thing David said, I'm a worm. I'm a maggot. Only by the grace of God am I stand here before you today. Everything I owe to him. I am nothing. I have nothing. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It's not about you. And every single thing that makes you feel good, you better examine yourself. Because the Holy Ghost will make you feel good when you know that your heart is right with him. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 14. Let's go back a little bit. Romans 14, are you there? Look at me in verse 7. Romans 14, 7 says, for none of us lives to what? Himself. And no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, what's it say? We are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn quickly with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Just turn to the right. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 9. It says, wherefore we labor. See the word labor? Same word in chapter 5 of Proverbs. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. What does he say? Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Everything's going to be roses, honey, sugar cones. And taffies. Look at the next verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. He says, we persuade men. That's what Proverbs chapter 5 is doing. God is telling us. He's persuading us. You better beware, beware, beware. Because there's religions out there all over the place, on every corner, trying to suck you in, getting you to... Why you go to that independent Baptist church there? All they do is preach fire and brimstone. Because that's where you're going, fire and brimstone. Why do you go there? Why don't you come to our church? We got rock bands and everyone makes you feel good. And guess what? You'll feel good. And you'll like it. You know why? Because I like sugar cones. Amen. I like ice cream and sugar pops. But you eat too much, you're going to get fat, ugly, and sick. It's the way it is. Why don't you turn with me, James chapter 1. God has warned us again and again. Amen. For you to know what this teaching is, what this smoother than the Holy Ghost is, you must identify it. And once you identify it, then you better magnify it to clarify it, to see what it is that's wrong in their teaching. And then when you do, you must testify that it is wrong. And then you have to apply it to your own life. You must, or you'll never get away from it. Look with me in James chapter 1. You there? Look in verse 27. Great verse. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The world is filthy. And I'm not talking about the stuff you see. What religion am I talking? What religions? And you don't have to, not names. What churches am I talking about? It's not the cults. You know what a cult is. It's not the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims. You know what they are. It's those that say they are one of us. But yet, all they're going to do is tell you about how great Jesus is and how wonderful He loves you and how good everything's going to be, and you're going to be all sugar-coned up. And everything you do is going to be for you. Because I'm supposed to never be sick. I'm supposed to be able to heal people. I'm supposed to have power over devils. I'm supposed to. It's all about you. And that's what is out there. It's out there a lot. And you have to identify it. And you have to magnify it. See why it's wrong. Or why it's bad. Or why it's dangerous. Because if you don't, you'll never be clear on it. And you'll never remove yourself far from it. I'm telling you stuff that people don't want to hear. I'm telling you stuff that God has put in His Word, but people don't see it. You read Proverbs chapter 5, I probably read it so many hundred times I can't even count. But many people read it more than I, Tam, and they don't know that it's talking to them about this simple thing. Look with me, 2 Timothy, please. Let's go back a little bit. I'm almost done. Spotted by the world. What is the world's philosophy these days? What is the world's vain deceits? It tells us in Colossians 2:8. It says beware. And when God tells you to beware, Lindsay, when God tells you to beware, you better beware. When God says beware, don't take that lightly. What, you think it's a joke? God's not gonna say, oh, I was only kidding. Or I understand why you didn't listen to me. No. He's given us every single warning there is. And thank God we still got some preachers that'll preach the Word of God and truth with power on it because they care about your soul. Because you know what? Everything you do on this earth should be done for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not for yourself. Amen. God will lift you up, but only when you put yourself down. God will make you king only when you make yourself a servant. To live, you got to die. To get, you got to give. Amen? That's just the way God is. But that's not according to this world. This world is give me, give me. Especially if you're a Christian. If you're a child of God, you're born again, child of God, you're a king. You should live like a king. You should have a Cadillac in your driveway. And all your bills should be paid. Matter of fact, you should have a jet airplane. How about four of them? You ought to have a $40 million house in your, and a couple of them down the shore. What's the matter? Not loud enough for you? I'll get louder. I'm dead serious, man. Because it is out there, and people that I love and care for are going to fall for that. And then when they die, they get nothing. They have nothing. You know why? Because their expectations is, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to have this. If I give them a harvest seed of 1,000, I'm going to get 100,000. Because it's all about what I can get. It's never about what I can give. Except, Lord, if you let me hit the lottery, if I hit that 100 million lottery, then I'll buy the church and I'll give money. You ever do that? I have. Yeah, it's easy. But first I have to get so I can give. God says, I don't want your money. I want you. I want your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Let me see you obey. Let me see you be obedient. Let me see you be a servant. Let me see you make yourself so humble that you're a doormat like Jesus was. Let me see when people spit on you and punch you in the face and you do it for me. Let me see that person first. That's what you won't see. You see everybody, well, that's not me. I'm telling you right now, pride's going to take people to hell and it's going to make them have nothing in heaven. Pride. You're worthless. I know nobody wants to hear that. I am worthless. I'm serious. Anything good in me is all God. Anything that I can do of any benefit to anyone, it's all Him. None of me. None of me. Who do I think I am that I could do something on my own? When Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He called me a worm. He said, you're a worm. Sorry. Let's get back to the message. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you there? Look with me in verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. I'm here to tell you right now, if any one of the prophets came back today, and they came into the churches today, even this one, we'd all think they're weirdos. They're too over the top. They're too holy. They're too separated. I think they're crazy. I think they're a cult. Think I'm kidding? People lived differently back then. The world is so much into us, it's hard to get it out. But you have to identify, then you have to magnify, and you have to clarify, and then you have to testify. Let me finish up. Look what it says. It says, having the form of godliness, what did I read for? Traitors, heady, high-minded. Think about that for a minute. High-minded, that means about me, how much stuff I'm going to get, what power I can get from the Holy Ghost, the things I can do. Whoa. It says, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. You get this, church? Having a form. They look like they're godly. They sound like they're godly. Everything about them looks godly. But on the inside, just like the Pharisees, they're dead man's bones. Because it's all about them. What I can be. What I can do. The person that Christ has made me. That's wicked, and it's from the devil himself. You show me that in the Bible. Everyone in the Bible was a servant, even unto death. They gave their lives. Thrown in prison. Cast in chains. Beat. Read chapter 11 of Hebrews. The faith chapter. The things that they saw and have. Keep reading. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away. Let me turn to chapter 4. I'm almost finished. Chapter 4, look in verse 2. It says, am I right? Yeah. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Reprove and rebuke. That's what a preacher's supposed to do? I thought a preacher's supposed to just tell you that God loves you. And how good you are. And don't worry, you can do it. No matter what problem you have, God's going to take care of it. He's going to give you everything you want. All you got to do is get more money. Look what he says, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts. Are you catching this? Is it creeping in? Are you identifying this? Will you magnify this? Is this being clarifying to you? It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let that sink in for a minute. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They shall turn their ears. If you try to tell them what the Bible says, they don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. Put their ears in, they don't want to hear it. They want to hear people telling them how good they are and what they can get from this book. You know, this book is amazing, and you can get all kinds of things from this book. The Word of God has enough honey in it to sustain you every day. But it also has the truth in it that keeps you humble every day. You go to a church of any kind, listen to any preacher on the radio, on the internet, or on television that just tells you how good you are and how great you are, you're poisoning yourself. Beware of all the feel-good preachers. We must identify, we must magnify, clarify, testify, and then certify ourselves that I am going to do what the Word of God says and remove my way far from them. I'm done for tonight. I'm telling you right now, I see it. I see it. People, when they get to heaven and they stand before the Lord at judgment, yeah, we cast out devils. Yeah, we spoke in tongues. Yeah, we did many wonderful works. Yeah, I tithed. Yeah, I gave abundance. Yeah, I went to nursing homes and I did this And he's going to get up there and everything's going to be burnt. Turn with me back to where we started and we'll finish. Proverbs 5. Proverbs chapter 5 says in verse 8, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh, that means near the door of her house, lest you give your honor unto others and your years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with your wealth and thy labors be in the house of the stranger. And look what it says in verse 11, and thou, you mourn at the last, that's judgment seat, when your flesh and your body are consumed and you say, how have I hated when people tried to tell me I was wrong? How have I hated when the pastors preached about hell and sin and this? And my heart despised. I did not want to be told I was wrong. I didn't want to hear it. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers or inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Our Lord is Lord. Our God is God. His word is very, very pure. His word doesn't tell you that you're going to be rich. His word doesn't tell you that you'll never get sick. It's great if you don't. Amen. I don't ever want you to get sick. I don't think God wants you to get sick either. But we live in a sick world. And we're in a body that's dying. Amen. Just keep your body healthy and strong. Because the next verse after 1 Corinthians chapter 3 was, don't you know your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost? What am I trying to say? We must identify the strange woman. We must identify it. If I get up here and I start preaching every single service how great things are and how wonderful you are and how you're going to, I guarantee you more people stay. I guarantee it. Those 13 new visitors, if I preach some sugar-coated message that just made them feel good, I guarantee they'd want to come back. That's why people do it. They want their I want our church to grow. But I'll tell you right now, I was not happy for almost a year when everybody left and churches had to kind of regrow again. I am so happy right now because every single person in our church is growing. Everyone. I see it. I know it. I feel it. They're growing closer to God one way or the other. Some a lot, some a little, but it's still growth. When our church was full, I knew half the people in our church didn't have a heart for God. Good people doing great things, but their heart wasn't there. I see every one of you, your hearts, every one of you. And that's exciting. So I'd rather have 10 with a heart for God, real heart, than 100 that don't. I'm here to tell you right now, Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 7, you need to read them. Proverbs 6 too a little bit, but Proverbs 4, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, all talk about the strange woman and the strange man. And it talks about what he'll do to you. And what it is, it's a religion that takes, like the devil does, something pure and good and twists it. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, Father. Father, we are your children. Let us not go astray. Holy Spirit of God, we pray you come into our hearts and cleanse us from worldliness. Wash us, cleanse us from worldly spots of filth on this flesh. Cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds and fill it and renew it with the Word of God. That we can be what you want us to be. We can have what you want us to have. If you want us to have it all, we'll take it all. If you want us to be servants and have nothing, I'll take that. Whatever you want, Lord. You are God. And I'll never be happy or fulfilled unless I'm close to you doing your work and will. I know your Word. I know your way and I know your will is to love one another, to love and put yourself last and put others before you. That is the way of Christ. So, Father, I pray your Holy Ghost to just seal everything we heard tonight into our hearts. Let us think about them. Let us take it home for the rest of the week. Let us identify the strange teachings and doctrines of others. Let us magnify it and see it clear and let us clarify it in our hearts. We know what it is. I pray we could testify of exactly what it is and help us, I pray, Lord God. Help us with all of our hearts to certify it in our bodies and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.